You got two stud running backs committed, but how do you keep both of them happy?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Got a great one today. Got my man T-Dub from T-Dub's Film Room at the Barn. Should we go ahead and do it real quick?
Yes.
Okay, let's go ahead and get it crunked up. Get it cranked up. Now, we're going to talk recruiting. Taylor does all of our film breakdowns of all the commits, and we're going to talk about some of them. We've had a flurry lately. You got two running backs. You got a bunch of other defensive players, offensive linemen, all kind of stuff going on. How do they fit? What does it look like? All of that and everything in between. Let's jump right into it. Taylor, you got these two running backs. You got Mycen Johnson-Cook, who obviously committed first, who's a freaking stud. I don't know if you saw the video. Did you see the video, the track video?
I did.
100-meter yeah. dash.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a giant running with children. It was,
yeah,
it was incredible. It's funny because I'm almost like, dang, is he overweight? And then I realized he just ran a 10.64.
He's only getting bigger. You know, he ran bigger than his playing weight in the fall. So, yes, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah.
Taylor, my question to you is, obviously it's fun. You got two big 4-star mm-hmm. backs. How does this thing work? Like, I know Golish has had a history of, like, when he's been able to rotate, but, like, how does this thing work when you keep them happy?
It's a good question. So, I think one part we were talking a little bit before we jumped on, not having Byron Brown is going to be a big piece of this.
Yes.
Because I went through last season, all right, and I'll do this real quick, but basically Boise, Florida, Miami, like, going through their schedule, you had 7 carries, 6 carries, 6 carries, 7 carries, 15, 12, 14, 7, 7, 17, 11. All right. So what that is the carries for the running back. So the leading rusher in carries for the running back position each game. So I'm excluding Byron Brown. So that's like not a lot. You know what I'm saying? I mean, right. Typically you'd want, you know, 20-ish, maybe 15 to 20 for your leading running back, who's going to be your leading rusher. So obviously the volume of carries is going to open up depending on who the starting quarterback is next year. Tia, if it's him, you know, he's much more of a thrower, much less of a runner. So I think it starts there. I think the volume of carries opens up. I will say, just in looking at Golish's offense, you don't see a lot of like two running backs on the field at the same time. But what you do see is a ton of tempo. And with tempo, you know, you got to keep them fresh. So you got to may have a drive here and a drive there where, you know, this is a Mycen drive and this is a, you know, somebody else drive, right? So I think all those kind of factors play into it. The other interesting thing here is, you know, just within the offense, the 3 losses USF had last year, the leading carry getter from the running back position had 7 or fewer carries. So whether that's like a microcosm of like, you know, they're not just turning around and giving it to the running back, or that's just like the offense isn't clicking as well when the running back isn't touching the football. I think, you know, you think about the Tennessee days, especially when Golish was OC and they were really clicking, they had a ton of carries from the running back position.
Right.
And I think that's what it looks like. And I think you got to keep them fresh. I think you'll have a drive here and a drive there, and I think they'll kind of alternate. I think that's typically how they'll do it.
So when you look at Mycen Johnson-Cook and you look at Kingston Miles, you know, everybody always thinks when you think of like a 2 running back tandem, you think thunder and lightning. But this guy, they're like kind of both for each one. Like they're both thunder and lightning because they're both big guys and they both have really like big top end speed. Like I was kind of shocked on some of those highlights that you had of Kingston when he can put his foot in the ground and get north. He can go, man. So I was like, does one of them have a different skill set than the other? I am not good enough to identify if one's going to be better at something than the other. Do you see a difference in their game where it's like this guy can excel at this and this guy can excel at that?
Not a ton, to your point. I mean, I think you laid it out well. They're both – their frames are pretty insane. I mean, Kingston right now is 6'2", 205, verified. he's going to play at 215. I mean, you can see him on film. Like, he can fill out his frame a little more. Think about how Jeremiah Cobb came into what he is now. I mean, it's, you know, it's totally different. Obviously, Mycin Johnson Cooks, like, I think I read somewhere he might be 240, like, right now. So
he looks
6'3", 230-ish. So both of these guys are on the bigger side, definitely the taller side. And I think it's literally just – and they both catch the ball pretty well. So I really think it's simply going to be – we have the opportunity to have interchangeable guys that have, like, different skill sets, but not to the extent that we put them in the game. Like, think about the Gus days. You'd always have your
wheel route guy.
Your wheel route guy, your swing route guy, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. It's not going to be obvious. It's just like, this guy's in, we can do anything with him. When he gets a little gassed after we run some tempo, get the next guy in, and we can do anything with him as well.
You know, you always say like you have a change of pace guy. Like, you have a guy that comes in, it's a change of pace, but it really feels like both of these guys could be the change of pace. Like, either both of them could be a change of pace for each one, because each of them, imagine like you've expended all your energy trying to tackle Mycin Johnson Cook, who's 235 pounds, and then he comes out of the game and Kingston goes in and he's 215 pounds. Like, is it that much of a relief at all? Talk about how much size matters in the pass protection. Like, that's how these guys are going to get in there early on, and how big that is.
Yeah.
You know, especially on those like third and obvious passing downs, like not having to, like you just mentioned, not having to swap in a guy
that's your third down guy,
making it obvious.
I think it's huge. I really think it's going to be really interesting this season to see like somebody like Omar Mapson, because it seems like I think a lot of his intangibles are part of the reason that he's successful. And we'll see what the carry distribution really looks like come the fall, right? But I think Mapson, by all accounts, had a really good spring. He played a lot in the spring game, and I think everybody likes him. I think he's a real energetic guy. And I do think that kind of stuff matters, especially when we're talking about pass protection, because pass protection is sort of like defense, where like intention might matter more than anything else. Hmm. Like, your intention to be able to say, here's a free rusher, you know, linebacker sprinting through the A gap, like looping in, and I've got to make that conscious decision that I'm going to put my face like right in there with it. And so intention really matters. Size amplifies somebody's intention. So if I'm 6'3", 230, then I can hold up a lot better than, you know, 5'9", 205. So at the end of the day, you're starting with like that clay, that mold, where 6'3", 230, like, you should be able to hold up a lot better physically in the pass pro game. And Kingston's not a small dude either. So yeah, I think it's a good point. They've got the frame to be able to do anything that's going to be asked of them to do, as long as they can obviously figure it out schematically, and then as long as they have the intention physically. And I think you saw, you know, with Kingston playing some defense and stuff like that, I think he's got the physical side. I think Mycin does as well.
So do you have any concerns? Kingston's a little bit shorter, at least verified. Do you have any concerns? It feels like lately, I don't know if it's even lately, and maybe there's more running backs of shapes and sizes than I think, but it feels like the smaller guys are the ones you see, you know, 5'9", I don't know if it's 5'10", so it's kind of like hiding behind the line. Do you have any – being able to keep that low center of gravity, do you have any concern about having, you know, taller backs?
The unique thing for both of these dudes is they don't, like, look upright.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't look like they're just running straight up. And you know, honestly, if you're thinking about like comps and people who have succeeded like in the NFL level, most of them are kind of in that sweet spot of like 5'11", you know, 5'10". They're not so short where it's like diminutive, but they're not so tall, you know, to your point. And a lot of it too is just like, the taller you are, typically the harder it is for you to change direction quickly. So it's just like, that's a position where you got to be able to change direction really quickly. And that's why these guys are so unique though. They are tall, but they still run behind their pads, and they still change direction like on a dime, just like they're shorter. So that's why that's why we're excited about it. It's because they're freaking huge relatively, but they don't lack a lot of the things that you would get from a smaller back, like change of direction skills and stuff like that. So
based on the film that you've watched, do you feel like one of them translates quicker than the other, or the competition that they play may help them translate quicker than the other?
This could be recency bias, but like, I'm loving Kingston Miles right now. I really am. you know, in the video that I did on Kingston, I really tried to like convey the story that
yes.
that hit me when I was like researching him as a prospect. And it was that quarterfinal playoff game where he's punting, he's playing defense and like getting after it, tackles for loss and sacks, and he's hitting people. It's a cold game up in there, you know, in Missouri. He's having to do these physical runs and getting hit. And at the end of the game, when it's third and 10 and they're backed up on their 10-yard line, they do the wraparound draw and he takes it to the house for 90 yards and they end up winning the game. And and he was a team captain that game. So a lot – and it's not saying that Meissen doesn't have any of that kind of stuff. By all accounts, he does. But, like, I don't know, man. Kingston, to me, you know, coming in as a freshman is just as much about, again, kind of like intention but, like, mindset as yeah. anything else. You know, think about, like, Marlon Davidson and just some of these guys that, like, came in and they got it. Like, they knew yeah. it off the rip. And I don't know. There's something about Kingston that I think he has some of that. So I think he could, you know, if he's got that mindset that it seems like he does, he could come in and surprise some people.
Oh, and to echo your point, the play where he's also the punter yeah. for his team, and mm-hmm. he clearly had like a call, like a read on a fake punt, and yeah. he read it and he came up short. And you're probably thinking like, why are you talking about a fake punt where he came up short? Well, he goes out on defense, and the very next play, he gets a tackle for loss. It's like, right. okay, I screwed up. I'm going to go make the play. And we've been, like, yearning for that. Like, that's one thing we've been missing, the guy that'll step up and make the play. And I agree with you 1,000%. I think you killed that video. It was fantastic. If you want to consume more of this type of content – we have a YouTube membership. You need to make sure you subscribe. You'll be able to see all of Taylor's film breakdowns. And he doesn't just do commits and you know portal guys that we do scenarios and different things like that. So really, really good stuff. We're going to get to a break really quick, and then we're going to come back and talk about two guys that we think are a little bit more underrated. Don't get talked about quite enough. Before we do that, got to give a quick shout out to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. Two parkways, the collision course of two parkways. Beat the heat, baby. It's getting hot outside. Make sure your AC is running at tip-top shape. You can get a free AC performance evaluation, free system pressure test, free vent temperature analysis, and then $50 off any AC repairs over $300. And Taylor, the best thing that I love about them, if it comes back and everything's good, they're going to tell you it's good. They're not going to try to sell you something. Yes. They're now open at 7 a.m. Drop your car off between 7 and 9, and you can get a $50 oil change, which is essentially unheard of. So show them some love. It's the PTAC, Precision Tune Auto Care, and then buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people. Do business with Auburn people everywhere, not just Auburn. There's people in Atlanta. There's people in Nashville. There's people all over. There's Auburn people all over. If you're going to shop, do business with Auburn people first. We've compiled over 30 businesses so far, and we're adding every single day. It's less than $1 a day to list your business. Show us some love. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. You picked out two guys that you feel like are a little bit – underrated, or maybe we're not talking about quite enough. I think the first one's a wide receiver. I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us about, I guess we only have one wide receiver right now, but he is underrated.
Yeah, Brylon Odor. I really like his game. And I compared him to a guy that he might not be like top of everybody's mind, Jaden Higgins, who played at Iowa State. He was a rookie last year for the Texans. I'm a Texans fan. But and even, you know, USF last year, Moody Rubin, you know, if you've gone back and watched some of those games, Moody Rubin was a guy that they kind of used everywhere. He was a bigger guy. I mean, he's definitely like 220 plus, but really athletic. And they put him in the slot. They'd hit him on RPOs. They put him out wide. They hit him on screens. And he had a few crazy plays where he like tried to hurdle somebody and bounced off and ran, you know, down the sideline for a touchdown. So I just think he's got his unique skill set is the fact that he's huge. And he's really good with the ball in his hands. Like his best thing right now on tape looks like his run after the catch ability, but he's not, you know, 5'11", 170 pounds. So I think in the way that Golish likes to attack with the tempo and the perimeter screen game, and even him being able to block, because he's a really willing blocker as a receiver in high school. If you're putting, you know, blocking highlights on your huddle, that's a great sign. And I know Cody, you know, is looking at that as well. So I'm really excited about him. He's got a huge catch radius. He's really tough kid. By all accounts, he looks, you know, he seems like a real smart kid as well. And just, you know, I think he's going to come in ready to go.
Yeah, 6'3", right at 200 pounds. I think when you see guys like this, you kind of think, man, are they just potentially just bigger than everybody like that they play against? And maybe that's how they're getting attention. Because you see, like, the high 4-stars and 5-stars that are wide receivers, and you turn on the tape and the way they run, you're like, okay, that makes sense. That guy's definitely, like, he's a freak athlete. I feel like Brylan's not far off of that. I feel like you mentioned it, the athleticism. He's not just a one-trick pony, like, I'm 6'3", 200, and playing in Tennessee. Just throw it up to me, and I'm going to, you know, jump over this kid that's, you know, 5'8", you know, 150 pounds. He does stuff after the catch. He does the dirty work. And then you called it out before I could even say it. The blocking, man. The being willing to block as a wide receiver is invaluable.
Yeah, and he's really good at it. And, again, it's another intention. It's a willingness. It's like it's a mindset and it's an attitude. And, you know, he's already got it on tape. You know, I heard an interview with him where he was mentioning, you know, he was talking about his blocking, and it's something he takes pride in, and that's huge. And, look, again, Cody and Golish and these guys, they're not going to recruit guys without having that conversation. Like, our receivers block because we're going to run the piss out of the ball, and then we're going to run our tempo stuff, and you got to block for your buddies when we hit them on the perimeter screen because it's going to come back around. We're going to hit you on a perimeter screen, and they're going to have to block for you. So it's a huge part of Golish's system.
I love it, man. I love it. I feel like you're probably going to add at least one more wide receiver to the class, but, man, I think Auburn's got stole one here. Let's just say that. I think he stole one here in Brylan. And wouldn't shock me if, you know, this summer when he camps, and now that he goes to camps as an Auburn commit and he gets more eyes on him, wouldn't shock me to see his ranking go up, because he's borderline. Like, he's almost a 4-star anyway. Like, he's a very, very high 3-star. Hit me with your second one. This is funny because this is literally – I think he's one of my favorite players in the class.
Yeah, Nash Johnson out of McEachern. I mean, and when you see McEachern, it's like, all right, I'm paying attention.
Check. You know what I
mean? Yeah, check. Okay, so so we know the level of competition's there. We know that, you know, I've been over to their facility, and it's really great. You know that, like, there's a focus on it. The development's even there right now. The one thing I touched on the video as well is he's got the highlight that you probably saw on Twitter if you haven't seen, you know, our breakdown of that really physical play. He's kind of playing that field flat. He comes up, hits the dude, fumble. They pick it up and score in the spring game. His body looks noticeably different from the spring game to last fall.
Yeah.
And so that's like trajectory up. That's a great sign. Again, the willingness and like the intention to be physical at the corner position. You think about all the corners that we've had, even just recently in Durkin's system, they have to be physical. Like, they have to help 100%. In run support. They have to help nowadays anyway with the perimeter screen game and all that kind of stuff. But then the last thing with Nash is just like freaking, you got to have confidence. You cannot play corner when you're going to line up man-to-man. And I think he's going to be a boundary corner with his size. He's going to be lining up against the Cam Colemans. He's going to be lining up against the most physical, the biggest guys in the boundary. That's just typical football. And they're going to press him up, and they're going to ask him to jam that large receiver off the line and stick on his hip. And when he has the in-breakers, you know, lay out and tip the ball and be physical and help out the run game. And you're going to get beat. Like, at corner, you're going to get beat from time to time. And you have to be able to just wash it, come back to the next play, and have just as much confidence in the next play than you did, you know, previously. And he has that, man. So, I love that kid. I love the way he plays, and I can't wait to see his fall highlights as well, because I think it's going to be even better.
One of the plays on his highlight that I like high IQ guys too, like guys that know ball. Like, you can tell, I can't describe it as well as you, but essentially he clearly had responsibility for one particular receiver and noticed that, you know, another guy was breaking, and he knew that, based off of film study or whatever, he knew where the ball was going. So he kind of – he was able to come off of it and make that play. Stuff like that to me is invaluable. Another thing about him, and I know you can – you have the same kind of eye whenever you see things like this. When you watch a guy, the way they run, you just know they're an athlete.
Yeah.
Like, you can be fast and not be athletic.
Yeah.
And then you can be – not so fast, and you can be an awesome athlete. I don't think he's going to go ever run, you know, a 4.3 40 as a corner, but he's so athletic, and he can turn his hips and change directions so well. He don't have to. You don't necessarily have to. And I think his athleticism is going to be something else that's going to be huge, a huge asset on the field.
100% agree. I was trying to make this point in the breakdown video for Nash, and I don't think I really got there, but, you know, there are so many examples. Like, Smoke Monday is a really good example, but even like a Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis and some of these guys, I mean, even on a totally, you know, unrelated position, like a Connor Liu, there's guys who, like, okay, everybody knows about him in the cycle. Like, Smoke was a great example to me. Everybody knows about him in the cycle, in the recruiting cycle. You know, they're from a state like Georgia where everybody pays attention. You know these guys. Nash Johnson is a former Alabama commit.
Yeah.
Miami was going after him, right? Like, this is not some three-star that people in this region didn't go after. He's playing at McEachern. Everybody knows who this dude is. And it's like, why, you know, how is this dude a three-star? I'm watching him make plays. And yeah, it's, I think it is what you said. And I kind of tried to make this point where it's like, he's a second-round pick. That's what he is. He's a second-round pick. But second-round picks are starters in the NFL.
They're great in college. They can be great in college.
100%. And even if, you know, even if he doesn't actually get to be a second-round pick in the NFL, we've had success with really good football players making plays at Auburn that maybe don't translate to the NFL because they don't have the elite traits like a 4.3 40. But, man, he's physical and he knows how to play ball, and he's going to be a good player.
I love it. Taylor, man, I appreciate you jumping on. We got to do this more. We're going to talk recruiting a lot more. We're going to talk about film breakdowns, all kind of stuff. I want everybody to run right now and go subscribe to the Barn YouTube page, the premium membership, where you can go check out all of Taylor's work because it's freaking awesome. I still can't get up. The Kingston video just gave me chill bumps whenever I was watching it. So that's my favorite one so far. Guys, thanks for listening. We will be back again very, very soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.